In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is one of those wonderful gospel lessons that we're given the opportunity to leave half of it out. I didn't. You may have noticed. But I think it's important that the two stories are together, and those who put together the lectionary apparently thought so too. It took me a few minutes to catch on. Yet I kept seeing them as two separate things, but it's really just one thing. Jesus is redefining faithfulness. He is completely changing the thought process. Now, it might be helpful to know that just prior to the beginning of this gospel, when Jesus starts to talk about the things that defile, the Pharisees had gotten upset with him and his followers because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. You may remember the story. And he quoted scripture back saying, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." And then he began this talking about those things that defile, the things that go into the body, just go into the mouth and in and through the body. He didn't get too descriptive, thankfully, but it's the things that come out, that come from the heart. So he's reaching out to those who are around him, and the Pharisees and those nearby have heard, and the disciples come to him, and they're like, you know you just upset them, right? What you just said was maybe too challenging. You really just undercut the people who have been known as the keepers of the faith, the ones who understand and know the law, the ones who teach the law. And he turns to them and says, yeah, but they're just blind, leading the blind. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Where's that warm, fuzzy Jesus everybody talks about? But he's saying really hard things, but he's trying to also encourage them to something more. There is more. It's not just about following a particular rule or a particular behavior when you're prepping your meal and eating your meal. It's about where is your heart? Where's your heart? And then to add to this fullness of this teaching, the next portion of the gospel begins, doesn't it? And this woman comes out and she's shouting. She's not just kind of hanging out in the corner waiting. Or wondering to her, excuse me, could I speak to you for a minute? She didn't go to somebody else and say, can I just have a moment of Jesus' time? Would that be possible? Now keep in mind, she's a Gentile woman. Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. Two problems there. One, for the time, which is no longer the same, thankfully. She's a woman. She's got no business approaching a rabbi, period. And she's not even Jewish. She's unclean by birth. She's not one of the chosen people. And she doesn't just show up wondering if she can speak to Jesus. She came out and started shouting. Now she knows who he is, because have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. She's creating a bit of a scene, and we know that because eventually the disciples come and urge him, send her away. Now that can be translated many ways. It could be translated as, get her away from us so she'll be quiet. Or they could be looking at him and saying, give her what she's asking for. Now you can choose however you want to hear that, but Jesus is making a point all of a sudden, isn't he? Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in this gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus has clarified that he came first to the chosen people. But now in this passage, we're seeing how Jesus is beginning to move forward into the expansion of the ministry of Jesus Christ, although it will be carried by his disciples. At that point, he is opening the door to the Gentiles. Amen? But the point is this: this woman comes and she is in such a state, and she understands and knows that this Jesus is the Messiah, and she comes not even caring what the earthly rules are, or perhaps, as it was put in here, the human precepts and doctrines. She didn't care. She needed to be near Jesus, and she needed to talk to him, and she needed to talk to him now. And nothing was going to stop her. Nothing of human origin was going to stop her from speaking to the incarnate God that was there before her. And she came forward with her heart full and desperate of the need of a Savior and the healing for her daughter, and she just walked right through all the rules. Now, when we hold that up against the first part of this reading, where Jesus and his disciples were being taken to task because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, you kind of start to see a difference. Why would we think there's a difference? The Pharisees were faithful people. They were keepers of the faith, the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the keepers and the teachers of the faith in the one true God. And they had all the rules. And Jesus is saying, there's more. It's not just about following the rules. The question is, where is your heart? And we know where her heart is. As she is told by Jesus, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She's not even asking for a full portion. She knows she is not one of the chosen people. She understands what he's saying to her, that he came to the Israelites first. She understands all of this, and she's saying, I just want a crumb. Just a taste of what you can offer is enough for me. Just a taste. I don't need to be dressed up. I don't need to sit up front. I don't need to be acknowledged. I don't need anything, Lord. Just a crumb from your table is all I need. That's all. And he says, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The followers, keepers, and teachers of the faith were rebuked because they had gotten to a place where they were just following the rule, much of which implemented by man. The Canaanite woman came with a broken and needing heart to a Savior. And in that moment, Jesus redefined what it means to be faithful. And as I read this week, and it finally occurred to me, we are in that moment now. In fact, it has come up in three different conversations for me in the past week. People are always wondering, how will we know if we're being effective as the church? I get emails every day about how we should be doing church one way or another from people who sit around and think about these things, by the way. And they write books about it. So there's a lot of books being written. There's a lot of webinars going on. And how do you redefine your ministry? I've been trying to redefine my ministry since March, which is not helpful because I have not yet fully defined it. So now I'm trying to redefine something I don't have a definite definition for already. And I'd say the whole church is doing it, isn't it? And then even last week, question of what about the parochial report? What are you all doing? I'm thinking, well, my number one thing I'm doing about it is not caring. Honestly. Why is that matter? How's that? All right. You know, technology, you can't live with it, can't live without it these days, can we? All right. Now, where was I? We're redefining the faith, and we're understanding in our tradition we have this report called a parochial report. So come January, we're going to get a notification that it's due. And you know what they're going to want to know? How many people come to church on Sunday? We call that ASA, Average Sunday Attendance. Well, that's going to look great, isn't it? It will specifically ask, how many people were there on Easter Sunday? Six. In case you were wondering, there were six people here on Easter Sunday. Then they're going to want to know, how many people are going to Sunday school classes, both adult and children? Well, in the traditional sense, I can safely say zero. You know, then it's going to be budgetary stuff and a lot of things like that. And I'm thinking, okay, this is me, because you know I love structure and rule so much. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, well, there you go. Now what? How are you going to measure the success of our ministry now? And why does that matter? It doesn't. Shockingly, and it never did. It just doesn't. You know how it matters? It matters on how lives are changed. And that has always been the truth. You don't come here because you want to be counted as part of the ASA. You come here because the Lord touched your heart and changed your life, or is touching your heart and changing your life, and you're drawn in. You don't pick up your Bible and read because somebody said you have to read your Bible every day. You pick it up and read it because you find comfort in the Word of God. Amen? That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. And if our concern is about what happens in this building and how many people participate in it, guess what? We're done. It's over. But it's not, is it? It's not. There are people with us this morning, right now, through the internet, that have never stepped foot in this building. There are people watching with us that don't even live in this town. There are people that don't even live in this state. And on occasion, there's people who don't live in this country that are sharing with us right now and hearing the Word of God and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now that matters. That matters. There are people worshiping with us who haven't been able to leave the place where they live for long periods of time, sometimes years, who are now back to worshiping God with us here due to technology that we've been, let's be honest, forced into. And God is using it. I have a message on my voicemail in the office right now that came from a wonderful woman I've never met and I have never seen and I may never. She is homebound, and somebody who helps her, was running errands for her, drove by here on a Saturday a couple weeks ago and saw signs along the road that said, free hot meal. And that person pulled in and picked up hot meals for their friend and took it back to her and said, I got this from the church down on the corner. They give away hot meals to people in need. She called and left me a very long, lengthy, and detailed, beautiful message about how God blessed her today through the hands and feet of the people of this community. Amen? That matters. When someone walks through that door, which is just sort of a metaphor, during the week who's in need, and they come in scared and worried and heartbroken and have no idea where to turn, and not even potentially Christians, but desperate because they're on the verge of losing their home, getting their power turned off or their water turned off or both, and they walk through that door and they receive the love of Jesus Christ, backed up with the abundance of God, and leave here with what they need to continue to survive by the day, I can tell you their lives are changed. Their lives are changed. One such case happened at such a level that your administrator, Sue, who is now, I got to owe her dinner if I say her name, but we experienced this together, and she was just remarking on the complete total transformation of the way in which, from when they walked in to the day to the time they walked out, and she could see the difference in their lives. You know what the difference was? The presence of God. They experienced the very presence of God through the love that was shared through us to them. Transforming lives, transforming the world. My previous parish was quite a bit smaller than this one. Incredible stories of the way in which God moved there by the nature of our ministry there. A lot of people in need. And we were right there with them. And we were them all at the same time. And it had gotten to a point where I just couldn't, I was so trained to the numbers, and we all are. You get a bunch of priests together, that's what we're going to talk about. Well, how many people are coming into your in-person services now? Who cares? I'm glad you're here. Do not misunderstand me. Otherwise, I'm doing this to an empty building. I'm just talking to a camera, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you all are there and here at the same time, but because we're supposed to come together and we want to come together, but sometimes we forget that we're together and we're more worried about how many of us came together. And it's, we should be more concerned about is God being glorified by our lives being transformed, are our lives being transformed, and how is God moving? So my previous parish, I'd gotten to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore because all I'm seeing is this incredible way in which God is moving in the ministry that he had called me to share in. I bought a journal. Now, we're not allowed to do that right now because we're not supposed to hand things back and forth. And it stayed in the church. And I told people, I said, anytime God does something amazing in your life, write it in this book, please. Because one of these days I'm going to turn that in with the parochial report so they can see what God's really doing. And I got news for you. It got nothing to do with the ASA, average Sunday attendance, in case you forgot. I don't know what happened to it because the Lord called me to be here with you before the next parochial report went out. And I hope it went with it. I do. So we just redid our website. I don't know if you know that or not. Check it out if you haven't. In contact us, you can make comments and whatever, and it may say suggestions, but we don't really mean that. But there's also a place you can fill in a prayer request. So as they were training on Friday, I popped over there and said to Sue, I said, I have my first change. And of course, she's like, great, because that's what I usually do, is mess up her day. We're going to, and I'm not sure how long it'll take, but under Contact Us or somewhere on the website, there's going to be a place for you to give us a praise report. I mean, we're come asking for our prayers, and which is so good, and I'm so grateful for. And you can make comments about what's going on in the community. But what if we spent some time sharing with the world how God is moving? What if we told the stories of how God's glory is shining through in this world, in this slightly more challenging time that we live in than what we're used to? And I can look across this room and look into the faces that are here, the eyes anyway, and say, I know many of your stories. And I know that God is moving in an amazing way in this world today. And I know that within this room and those beyond this room who are here with us still are aware of the glory of God. And let's be honest, we're in an election season. Let's share some good news. I don't care where you stand in your politics, an election is never good news. It never feels good. It always creates more anxiety, and man, we will run to that, won't we? That's why you don't find me on Facebook. I've had to pay more attention to it because that's how we go live here now. But I quit it because of election seasons the last time. So quickly, we fall into our own struggle. So quickly, we will pay attention to what's going on around us. So quickly, we will just follow the rule, which could be just what everybody else is doing, by the way, not even a rule. How about we try to be the Canaanite woman? How about we know what we need? How about we come to our Lord and Savior and we cry out to him and say, Lord Jesus, how about we do that? And when he responds, and he will, how about we tell the world about that? Let's look at our faithfulness differently. It's not just about following the procedures and the rules, and it's certainly, at this point, better not be about counting the numbers of people who participate in whatever it is we're doing, because that just doesn't work anymore, amen? And thanks be to God, it doesn't, because you know what? We are now, just like the Pharisees in this story that we hear today, we are now being forced to say, what does this really mean? How do we redefine ministry today? And you know what? It's the same as it has always been. It never changed. We did. We got caught up in the numbers. We started running budgets. We started building buildings. We started worrying about the details which we created, amen? And the fact of the matter is, Jesus is Lord now, just as he was then, and nothing has changed. The way we can tell if the ministry of Jesus Christ is alive and well is through the way he moves in his people, and the way in which lives are changed and transformed by his love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Amen? Amen? Let us redefine, or let us claim again, the truth of what it is we are called to. And when we are feeling the urge to share something with the world, share the moments in which your God is glorified. Amen? Amen.